There's an Arizona sport that's dear to my heart. It's a roaming in my four-wheel drive. I spill coffee on my lap on my topographic map. Put it on the hood to dry. Well, I always get a thrill when punching up a hill when the moment of truth arrives. Is this trail too steep for my dusty old Jeep? And can I get it up the other side? Boing, 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 boing. In my therapeutic four-wheel drive. Boing, 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 boing.
Well, good morning, Arizona, and welcome to Rosie on the House. Our 7 o'clock hour is our Arizona hour. Interesting people, places, and things. And that music is live here by our state balladeered in person, Mr. Dolan Ellis. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning.
And
it's
you've been
wonderful to be here.
State balladeer for 50 years?
51 years this year.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's been quite a ride. Really has. It's been a governor appointed position, and it's been 13 governors in 51 years.
And how many Jeeps?
17 Jeeps. I'm on my 17th. My Jeeps have gotten a little more comfortable, though, throughout the years.
You go through Jeeps faster than you go through governors.
I've always had the Wrangler and the CJ series and all of that, but I felt I'm old enough to graduate to a Grand Cherokee, so that's what I'm driving now.
So what's your hairiest drive, and did you make it back up the other side?
Yeah, I almost didn't one time, but yes, yeah. My hairiest drive would be out in the out around the coke ovens out along the Gila River. There's a real interesting trail out there that's got a big cliff on one side that you need to be very careful of.
Okay, the coke ovens. We've done that one on ATVs, but no, not in a Jeep. Okay, very good. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in this morning, and I don't know if we're jumping to this yet. Or
no, we're going to talk about Dolan for a little while, this first segment. And Dolan, so my knowledge of you has to do with the fact that you are the state balladeer. You were the very first state balladeer, right?
Yeah, I was
in the whole country, right?
Of the whole nation, yeah. Yes. Arizona was the first state to have an official balladeer. It was Governor Sam Goddard who dreamed it up. And I had come back from being an original member of the New Christy Minstrels back in the 60s. And if any of your listeners are old enough to remember that, we got the Grammy in 62. But it wasn't what I was looking for. I came back home to Arizona to do my thing. And Governor Sam Goddard sent a representative to me and said, "How would you like to be the official balladeer?" I just released my first album of Arizona songs, and I wasn't even quite sure what it meant, tell you the truth, but it sounded pretty good. I said, "Hey, that sounds like just what I'd like to be."
Well, it is an important role because it helps preserve our history and our folklore, so it's really just a really special position.
You know, our history and our folklore, I'm very concerned about it, Jennifer. I don't think we're getting it to our population the way it ought to be disseminated to them. And it's so important that people understand the land that they live in.
Well, what we love about this hour at Rosie on the House, the 7 o'clock hour, is we get to share that kind of thing because we really love Arizona as well. And Rosie's and my children are all from Arizona, but Rosie's from Louisiana. I'm originally from Memphis, and I know you're originally from Kansas. Yeah, so, I mean, it doesn't take much to get this state as a part of your heart.
That's
and you
right.
were drawn here. You felt like this is where you wanted to be.
Absolutely. I was called here. Yes, I really absolutely was drawn here. I think it had something to do with my childhood. I spent so much time alone on the farm out there, and I think I bonded with the out-of-doors. I think also National Geographic magazine had something to do with it. That was kind of my window to the greater world when I was a little boy in the middle of nowhere of Kansas. And I would see, you know, the saguaros and the unique animals and the life zones and all of that. And to me, it was as exciting as, I don't know, Admiral Byrd's expedition to the South Pole. It was really exciting. So I really knew that I wanted to come out here.
So you were drawn by the outdoors and the Wild West kind of. But at that time, you know, we had Jim West in a couple months ago, and he wrote the book, The Phoenix Sound.
Yeah,
and when you came
book.
Out here, music was a big deal. You're in the book. You know that. But
I
you're
know.
In the book. Isn't that great?
I
the
don't
Phoenix
know how
Sound
I made
by
it,
Jim
but
West.
I sure
oh,
do.
My gosh.
I appreciate it.
So where did music tie in? Did you already know how to play when you got here, or did you love to always love to sing and play?
No, I never thought of myself as a performer, really, or a songwriter. I was in television when that's what I came out here. I went to Kansas University, and when I got out, I came out here with KOOL TV Channel 10. And I was a cameraman and did some switching and some directing, that sort of thing for them. And then, but I always took my guitar to work with me, and music has always been my passion, and to play the guitar and sing, without realizing it, I really loved story songs. I didn't realize it for many years, that's always been my niche.
Well, and you're also known as a poet, so you take those poems and set them to music, right? Do you see yourself that way?
Yeah.
Did that?
I didn't realize
just come organically?
That I was thought of that way until maybe 10 or 15 years ago. People would say, "Oh, you're a wonderful storyteller." I'd said, "What do you mean storyteller? I'm a singer." No. You're a storyteller with your songs and lyrics. And
when did you write your first song?
Actually, I wrote my first song in about the third grade.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but my first adult, you know, song when I was growing up, I wrote my first one in college, I think it was.
And you weren't out here yet, so it wasn't an Arizona
song.
No,
it was. I was in a rock and roll band in college, and I wrote a song that that we were going to make a big hit out of.
Yeah. But kids are still like that today, you know. They're all looking for their 10 seconds of fame. But you certainly found more than that, huh? Well, so coming out and working on the TV, Cool TV, right, Channel 10, you must have gotten to meet a lot of people. Were you aware of the music scene going on? Did you were you drawn to that at all?
Well, I was. I went over to Green Gables, had a place that had the white horse, the knight riding on the white horse who would lead your car in. And I auditioned, and of course I didn't get the job. But he recommended me to a new little coffee house in Scottsdale called Portofino's, and I had great success out at that little coffee house. Boy, we used to pack them in, and that
was it really
was
a coffee house? It was just was it like a morning place, or it was an all day kind of a place?
The
coffee house?
No, it was a nighttime place.
Okay.
Coffee houses back in those days were. You know, they were the kind of the hip thing, and after the theater, after the bar, that was where a lot of the hippies, not in the coffee house where I worked, but in the coffee houses of the West Coast, is where a lot of the folk scene was born, and a lot of the creative folk musicians and hippies out of the 60s would hang out. So it was a perfect place.
So not like a coffee house like Starbucks, no. It's a lot different. But did people could just come in and watch, or y'all charge for that kind of thing? I just think it'd be crazy. Just wonderful to get to walk in and hear people just playing and jamming.
To begin with, they didn't charge anything. But then we were doing so well, they went to a cover charge. And then they started bringing in national acts, and that was really my opportunity because I was the house act, and all of these national acoustic acts came and worked there for a week or two, and I was their opening act, so I was able to learn from them and get to know them, and they recommended me to their booking agents. Katie Lee just died, by the way, this past week, and she was a wonderful Arizona gal, folk singer. But traveled nationally, and she helped to get me going with ABC Booking, which was a big booking company, national booking agency, and also Travis Edmondson out of Tucson. He's gone now. So, a lot of my friends are gone, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm still kicking high.
You are. You're doing good. We're counting on you. So you're at this coffee house. Where did the desire... Had you already kind of started going the Arizona route with your music, or you still not yet?
Not yet. I was doing mostly American folk music, John Henry, you know, and a lot of the Huddy Ledbetter stuff and a lot of the Gateway Singers and stuff and Pete Seeger and those people that were singing American folk music, and that's what I cut my teeth on.
Well, tell me about what you have in your lap here.
This guitar?
Yes, sir. I've been admiring it for all morning long.
That's a 12-string. It's made by the Guild Company, and it's the second one that I've had. The first one I wore a big hole in. By the way, my first one, I am very proud to say, is on display out at the Musical Instrument Museum at the MIM. They've done a really nice display on me and my music in their Arizona music history room. And I'm thrilled to death.
I bet you are.
Yeah, I really am.
What an honor.
Now, here's a very important question, and it's not going to determine whether or not we keep you on for a second or third segment, but I have to know. Willie Nelson or Waylon Jennings?
Waylon was a dear friend. I was with the Christy Minstrels when Waylon was still a local act here. So I came back from the Christies, you know, a big deal, and with gold records and all that sort of thing. And Waylon was still, gigging around town. And we'd always have breakfast together and at the old Safari Hotel coffee shop. And one night he came in, big smile on his face. He said, "Chet Atkins just signed me to RCA. Wow." He said, "You know that song you sang, Four Strong Winds?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Would you mind if I recorded that? I'd love to do that." And I said, "Well, that's not my song. It was written by Ian Tyson." That's how little he knew about the music business. I said, "Anybody can record it, Waylon. Just go record." Well, he says, "I need the songs and I need the chords and the lyrics." So I wrote them down on a paper placemat there. About 6 weeks later, I'm going down the street in my Jeep. There's Four Strong Winds.
Well, we can do a lot here at Rosie on the House, but we can't stop the clock. We'll be right back with Dolan Ellis, our state balladeer.